Our text for this evening on the miraculous raising of the saints from death is from Matthew 27. It says, "The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many." Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my lips and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On the day Christ died, some of the most unusual events occurred. We've already talked about while Christ hung on the cross from noon to 3 p.m., normally the sunniest, brightest part of the day, the sky turned pitch black without any explanation. Complete darkness came over the land. This was more than an eclipse. It was as if the sun had simply stopped giving out its light. Since the beginning of time, no one had ever seen anything like this. This darkness was a sign of God's sorrow and of his judgment. For here in the darkness, God was punishing his own innocent son to pay for the sins of the entire guilty world. On the cross, the life of Jesus, who is the light of the world, was being snuffed out like a candle. This total darkness during the midday hours was so unusual. It was eerie. Nothing like this had ever been seen before in nature. This noonday darkness was supernatural. Everyone surmised that. And it signaled the death of God's only Son. The external death, a darkness, matched the eternal darkness that had come over Christ's soul as he was weighed down by the weight of our sins. He cries out to his Father, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He did not say these words in self-pity, nor were they hyperbole. But our Lord cried out these words because God had indeed fully withdrawn from his Son and left his Son alone to suffer the agonies of hell on his own. Christ Jesus was suffering in our place for all of the collective evils that have been done throughout human history. The Lord of life, the Lord of light, was suffering to such an extent for those sinful deeds that you and I have done in darkness. Jesus cried out again in darkness one more time. He cried with a loud voice, and then we are told he yielded up his spirit, and the Lord of life was dead. His death on the cross caused a supernatural chain reaction of events that were mysterious and to this day defy explanation. We're told we've been looking at such miraculous events during Lent. We've talked about how at the very moment of death, the thick curtain of the temple in Jerusalem split in two from top to bottom. We've talked about how the earth shook and how the rocks split. Now we are given details to another amazing miracle of Lent. For at the very exact and precise moment that our Lord Jesus died, we are told that the tombs containing bodies of many dead believers were suddenly opened. and the physical bodies, along with the souls of these dead saints who had fallen asleep, believing in the promise of Christ, were raised. These people literally and physically were stepping out of their tombs, and once again they were living and breathing humans. After Jesus' own resurrection, these resurrected people would go into the holy city of Jerusalem, and they would show themselves to many. Once God had fully accepted his son's payment for our sins on the cross, it was as if death had to give up something, as if death had been forced to release at least some of its hostages, those who had been held in hostage and bondage so long to death. Once the rocks split and the powerful earthquake occurred in and around Jerusalem, these tombs of the dead became unearthed and exposed and opened to the light of day. But instead of what you would think you would find, lifeless and decaying bodies inside that had become but dust, a supernatural event occurs. For these men and women who died in faith, we're looking forward to this day, the day of Christ, and they stepped out of their tombs, even though some had been inside of those tombs for centuries. Those who had died believing in this day woke from their sleep of death to find themselves reconstituted and resurrected. Now, whenever I've taught on this incredible event in the past, it always seems to pique our Christian curiosity. And Christians will always come up to me after a Bible class and they'll want to know, specifically, who were these saints? How many of them were there? Did they go back to their homes and businesses and resume their lives? Did they appear once or many times? How long did they live after this? And did they experience death for a second time? Well, I have a somewhat unsatisfactory answer to that, and it is simply, we do not know. Because when the Holy Spirit prompted Matthew to recall and write down and record these events in the gospel bearing his name, the Spirit did not think it was important enough for us to have all these details about this group of people who were resurrected on Good Friday. All the Spirit of Christ intended for us was to know that these powerful events happened just after Jesus gave up his spirit and died. The people who were raised from death were no doubt believers in Christ, because Matthew in his gospel refers to them as saints. And we all know that in the Bible, a saint means a holy one, that is, one declared holy by the blood of Christ and through faith in him. We also know that it was not until our Lord's own resurrection 3 days later that these resurrected saints show up in Jerusalem as special witnesses to the amazing power of our Lord's death and resurrection. Just think what a statement that must have made to see these men and women who were well known in their communities by family members and neighbors, and suddenly they were alive again because of the power of Christ's atoning death and his resurrection. One messianic website had something interesting to say about this text. Apparently, there was a prevailing belief among the Jews of Jesus' day that when the Messiah came, bodily resurrections of the dead would be expected. Assuming that this is true, the bodily resurrections of these people would have been a powerful statement that Jesus of Nazareth was in fact God's Messiah. The website of our own Lutheran Church Missouri Synod recently included a question by a church member seeking an answer. Here is the question. They said, could someone please elaborate on Matthew 27, verses 52 and 53? I don't recall it ever being addressed in any of my Sunday school classes, and yet it seems like a pretty significant event. And here is the answer that was given on that website. The significance of the event is well summarized by one of our own LCMS New Testament theologians, the late Dr. Martin Fronsman. And this is what he wrote. He says, the saints proceeding from their tombs and appearing in the holy city indicate that Christ's death is our victory over death. For it indicates that he is the firstborn from the dead and that our own resurrection is certain to follow. Fronsman continues, Matthew's mention of this event, of course, is not intended to satisfy the curiosity of those who want to know the details of these events, but it is intended to impress upon all Christian readers in subsequent years and eras that Christ is the victor and conqueror of death, and that his resurrection certainly guarantees our own. One thing we can say for certain is that these resurrections were linked to the moment of Christ's death. How ironic that at the exact moment of his death, death suddenly loses its sting and is swallowed up by victory. These resurrections at the time of Jesus' death point to the sufficiency and the finality of Christ's work on the cross. And they would also point forward in time to the future, the resurrection of all believers. For as the scriptures say, for as all die in Christ, so shall all be made alive. These resurrections that took place on the day Christ died foreshadow the resurrections that we are going to enjoy one day. St. Paul wrote the following. He says, I tell you, brothers, flesh and blood as we are now cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable body inherit the imperishable. But I tell you a mystery. He says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet call of God. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must first put on the imperishable. This mortal body must put on immortality. And when that happens, then the saying will have come to pass that is written, death has been swallowed up by victory. O death, where is your victory? O grave, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God for showing us that the victory belongs to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.